Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
Living in the arena of financial overflow. So we've been teaching the last couple of weeks. We started out with Psalms 112. We talked about the blessings of God, and we said God's blessings can position you financially beyond earthly means. We said that God's blessings can position you financially to be a blessing to others. And we said God's blessings will position you financially to remain steady at all times. Don't you know some Christians, when they're going through financial challenges or tests in their life, how many know sometimes they act like this storm is never going to get over? But how many know God's going to bring you through that thing? Amen? We moved on. We did a lesson titled The Much More Blessing based on Matthew 21 through 16, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And in that particular lesson, God just raised some questions to challenge us relative to our faith. And the question went like this: is my motivation for serving God out of duty or devotion? Am I waiting for an opportunity to respond to the master? And do you trust the goodness of God that gives more than deserved? From there, God led us into a teaching titled Responding to the Goodness of God, based on Mark 12, verse 13 through 17. We said we have to surround ourselves with people who value truth and is committed to seeking it out. We said that we have to choose who will you honor in the handling of your giving. And the image of my heart is the inspiration of my honoring of God in my giving. And on last week, we went into this area of dealing with the danger in duty of money based on 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 10 and 17 through 19. We said that money and materialism can be deceptive. And we gave you some symptoms in the scripture of what that deception looked like. We said money and materialism can be disciplined. And we talked about how to develop contentment in your life. And we said money and materialism can be destructive, and money and materialism can be a delight. Those are just a little review. And those who hadn't heard those series, I encourage you to invest in your financial wisdom by getting it from the Word of God. How many know the Bible become the primary source where we gain our wisdom on how to honor God and how we manage our wealth in the earth? Well, during my prayer time relative to this teaching, I kind of was thinking that it was finished and I was seeking the Lord for the next series that he wanted us to go into. And right there during that prayer time, there was a deep anointing that came on me in intercession for the poor. And I was crying out to God and praying for the poor. And I'm telling you, and after I got through praying and interceding for the poor, God spoke a prophetic word to me. And so I grabbed my tablet while I was there in my dining room and started writing. And I want to share this because out of this prayer and out of this prophetic word, God let me know, no, don't close it out now. There's a final statement that I want to say to my people relative to money matters. And it reads like this: until the body of Christ embrace God's heart and attitude toward the poor of the land, their prosperity will not fully honor me and my kingdom in the manner in which I, the Lord of provision, has ordained for the believers in the church. The message of the kingdom is not hoarding, but helping all of mankind, the just as well as the unjust. For the reign of my mercy covers the face of the earth. The compassion toward the poor must first begin in the heart of prayer. Genuine praying in behalf of the poor of the land will reshape the heart and mind toward the poor, not according to the ways of the world, but according to the leading of the Lord. When prayers of individual willingness and desire to help the poor expand out into the church, then will every part of the body take on the role I have assigned them in living not for themselves, but for the good of others, living not for the needs of their family and relatives alone, but also for the poor throughout the world. Heaven is waiting and ready to respond to those whose hearts are open to loving and serving the poor of the land. And so I want to talk today from the thought, proclamational giving. Proclamational giving. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. And while you're turning there, the scripture says in Psalms 113:7, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from ash heap. Proclamation given is given directed to those who carry the good news of Jesus Christ outside of the walls of the church into uttermost parts of the world and requiring aid for themselves in the poor of the land. That's proclamation given. Given directed to those who carry the good news of Jesus Christ outside of the walls of the church into the uttermost parts of the world, requiring aid for themselves and the poor of the land. We hear this statement often said that wherever God guides, he provides. Well, how many know that is true? But what we as believers have to understand that God provides through various individuals within the family. God is not pouring money out of heaven. Matter of fact, there's no money in heaven. Because heaven don't need money to function. Money is in the earth. But God uses individuals to be answers to other people's prayers as well as their needs. One writer said this, God has entrusted us with his presence and he gives us all a unique role in displaying it to the world. Notice, he gives each of us a unique role. He doesn't tell every individual to do the same thing. He doesn't tell every church to do the same thing. But every individual is called to do something, and every church is called to do something. One writer said this, how we walk with the broken speaks louder than how we sit with the great. We're living in a world today, people don't want broken people around them. Churches don't want broken people to come to them. Why? They come needing. They target church, certain demographical people to come in. Why? To help push their program. Jesus provides insight and instruction to those who follow him or to show forth their love for him and how they provide for the least of them. Look at Matthew 25. Look at verse 40. I want you to read verse 40 with me because this is the key to everything Jesus have just said concerning providing support to the poor. Verse 40, read. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now these words, to the least of these, have come off the tongue of government officials. It was a phrase that Mother Teresa used consistently in her ministry to the poor. However, when we put it in the context of the text, we will see that Jesus is specifically focusing on his brothers or disciples. I want you to grab that. He is not talking generally about the poor in this text, but we do know that Jesus cared for the poor. When the scripture says, one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. My brethren, my what? My disciples, those who Jesus know are carrying out his instructions, those who Jesus know have laid down their lives to carry out the will of God. The church have neglected the least of these. We've neglected it in our vision. We've neglected it in our priorities. And when we teach prosperity so every individual can get more. And here Jesus is saying the greatest prosperity you will tap into is when you are willing to give for the proclamation of the gospel. That is the reaching out of spreading the good news over the face of the earth. Now, there are those in the body that God have called. God have called to risk their lives, to sacrifice their families, to adapt to changing living conditions. In other words, they will leave the comfort and convenience of America to go into the slums in the ghettos of life and live under those conditions. See, missionaries that go out to carry the gospel, they don't go to these places, said, I'm going to live in a five-star hotel, then I'm going to travel down in this area and do ministry. They adapt to the living conditions of the people group that God has called them to. Conditions where there may not be electricity. Conditions where there may not be clean water. But they know that God has called them there. Saints, listen, this is the crowd that Jesus is talking about. This is the crowd that Jesus called what? You have done it to the least of them. He said, what? You did it to me. He said, whatever you have done to support the least of them, you did not really do it to them. You did it to Jesus. I mean, that's a powerful declaration for Jesus to make. Now, surely in the body of Christ, God haven't called everybody to sit in nice seats, to come to a nice building, to hear the gospel, to grow as Christians. God has called some people in the body to go into some places where they can't run at night and go get a burger at McDonald's, where they can't tell somebody to go down the store and grab me some so I can finish cooking this big meal, where they can't say it's Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to hang out. But yet they're called by God to take the gospel of Jesus. Habakkuk 2:14, listen to what God say concerning the gospel. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I mean, that's the heart of God. The gospel, the good news, was not meant by God to stay restricted to a certain nation. But God wants the gospel to spread over the face of the earth like the water covers the sea. How is it going to cover the sea like that except somebody say what? God has called me to go outside of the walls of the church. Isaiah 60:2 says this, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Listen to what the prophet said. The prophet said what? The world lies in darkness and darkness is going to be magnified within the culture. But what? The glory of God is rising. Sometimes people get discouraged. Well, if the world getting worse, if things are getting evil and people are doing all kind of evil, does it matter? Yes, it matters that we raise the glory of the Lord. I want to give you some things from this teaching here that Jesus provides that can help us individually and as a church to examine ourselves and say, am I a proclamation giver? Do I really have a heart to see the good news of Christ cover the face of the earth? Or is my prosperity all about what I can get next? All about what people can see me living in and driving and all this kind of stuff. But do I have a heart that those who are going out on the mission field, that God can give me a relationship with them and I can help so that they can have a place to stay, so they can have some food and they can have some clothes, and if they get locked up from preaching the gospel, I'll make sure I visit them. This is how we're going to do it. First of all, the proclamation given is a great witness of authentic Christianity. I mean, anybody can say they're a Christian. And the sad thing about Americans, they think being American means you're a Christian because they think I'm in a Christian nation. Sometimes young people think they're a Christian because I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad was a Christian. I mean, you can raise children in a Christian home, but they got to come to a place where they take their own ownership to come to God on their full understanding now. We all had to do that. We had to come to a place because a lot of time when they get older, they start questioning whether or not this thing about God is all true like mom and daddy said. Why? Because they've come through an educational system that said there are many gods. And what make your God right? And what give you the right to think that your God is the only God? So they've been washed in their mind with that kind of knowledge and understanding. So now they're standing back off and saying, wait a minute, I need to reexamine this thing about God now. Is everything mom and daddy said really true? I mean, that's normal. Why? Because God knows at a certain point they have to make a decision for themselves. They have to come to a place where they know Christ for themselves. Not because mom and daddy raised me up to or know God. Not because I was baptized at 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13. You have to come to a place on your own journey. And life will bring you to that place. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, sometimes people think, if I hit the lottery, oh man, my life, all this going to change. Yeah, you're going to have more problems. Money is not the answer for life. Money will allow you to do more things in life, but money can't buy you peace. There are certain sickness and disease that money cannot resolve. Money can't give you good children. Money can't give you a good marriage. Y'all might be happy, but rich people are divorcing. I mean, you look at Hollywood, man, it's like a normal thing. But proclamation giving is a great witness of authentic Christianity. Look at verse 31. Listen what Jesus said. Jesus is showing us what it's going to be like in the judgment. See, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, verse 31, and all the holy angels with him. How many know that's how Jesus is coming back? Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to this. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous, notice, the right hand has who? The righteous. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You got sheep and goats. Sheep represents what? Authentic Christianity. Real Christian. Not nobody who just say something, but somebody who presents something. 1 John 3:17, listen to what the word of God says. If anyone has material possessions and sees what? A brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That's authentic Christianity. It's that I have the means to help another brother and sister in Christ that have a legitimate need, and yet I don't respond. And the Bible says, how can you say God is in you? Get that now. How can you say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. How can you say God is in you? How can you say his compassion is in you? And you see a fellow brother and sister in Christ with the need, and that word pity means you show compassion. It's reaching out with the love of God. Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That means even if they are not Christians, even if they are not in the faith, do good to them. What? Show compassion to them. But notice when it comes to those who are in the kingdom, he said, especially to those who belong to who? To the family of believers. I mean, no, that's the attitude we have to have. We got to be authentic. We got to recognize anybody can say words. But Jesus even said that your words don't have power without works. Matthew 7:21 says this. Not everyone, Jesus said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen to what Jesus said. What, all that spiritual stuff, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, miracles, signs, and wonders. And then the Bible says, Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. Perhaps it's because you never operated with authentic Christianity. And we got to be careful, because sometimes we think, well, we got to be so deep and so spiritual, but yet we can't reach out and meet needs of people. You live in a town, who gave you the right to judge? You're right. I don't have the right to judge. Why? Because I am not the king that's going to sit on the throne and sit there and decide where the sheep and goat is. But I tell you, Jesus Christ is going to do it. Jesus Christ is going to sit right there, and they're going to be all mingled together, sheep and goat. And Jesus is going to stand in judgment, and he knows the heart of people. He knows those Christians that are truly Christians. And there'll be some probably standing there all robed down and looking all priestly. Am I in the right house? With their orthodox hat on and everything, and be sitting right over there in the goat camp. You might be the little Christian in church, nobody really knows, but you just love God and you help people, and you're standing there and Jesus got you in the camp with the sheep, and you look over there and you see your pastor in the camp with the goats. Authentic Christianity means not that you're perfect, but you're genuine and you reach out to people. Not to be seen. Your church is a church that's genuine. There's no catch 22. There's no manipulation. There's no undercurrentness going on in the board meetings. You're just real. You are real in your strengths and you are real in your weakness. That's why Jesus, when he talks about the church, he talks about it in the context of using the illustration of sheep. We can be hard-headed. We can be stubborn. We cannot want to stay with the flock. We could want to wander off in our own way. But how do you know Jesus will come find the sheep? Even if he had to leave 99, he's going to come find his sheep. And then you ducking and dodging and trying to get away, and Jesus reach over and pick you up from behind the bush. Say, you are my sheep. Sometimes when we see a person's weakness, we think they're not real. The fact that you can see their weakness means they are real. It's when you got to hide your weakness that you may not be real. That's what we're doing on Wednesday. We're talking about what? We're talking about Christian discipleship. Christians have to grow. You don't get saved. Okay, I'm going to stop doing this. And I'm going to stop. Oh, yeah, that's called legalism, but it's not real. You may last about 24 hours. But Christians have to be on the path of growth, of maturity. You and I should be able to look back in our life and see how God has drawn us closer to him over a course of time. Christian growth is about just drawing closer to God. I mean, no, you have to grow. Look at the neighbor and say, you have to grow. So Jesus is saying those who understand proclamation giving will reflect authentic Christianity in their lives. The second thing is, proclamation given provides encouragement for those suffering for the truth. In the text, those who are brothers or disciples of Jesus who go out to carry the gospel, there are times that these individuals will be put in prison. There are times that they're not going to have clothes. There are times that they're not going to have food and shelter. There are times they're going to be sick and don't have medicine or medical care. So what is the body of Christ doing? Are we forgetting our brothers and sisters out there? And we're sitting in the church talking about we sit in this comfort place and all that? Or do we pray and say, God, help us get to know those that you call to go in that kind of terrain so that we can help them? That's who Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not talking about, okay, make sure you go over there to the prison, Kirkland or whatever. You know, make sure you go down to this homeless shelter. I mean, he's talking about those who are proclaiming the gospel and the suffering that come with it. We can go in Christian stores right now. We can go in Walmart right now and buy Bibles and books and all of that in America. But that is not the case in other countries. They don't have Bibles and Christian material available. And in some countries, if somebody ever present that kind of material, how many know their life can be threatened? But God will raise up people to go. My wife and I was in Virginia a couple months ago to hear Marilyn Hickey, and Marilyn Hickey was ministering. She said right now God has her in a position where she's gotten favor with certain Muslim leaders, and they are bringing her in underground to preach the gospel. This woman is what, 80-some years old? And God has always used her in that way. And now you don't hear her on the news. You don't hear her up doing great crusade. But she's in a time and season in her life where she's got favor. And she say when they look at her, they call her the little white lady. She say they don't feel threatened by her. She don't go over there hating on Muslims. She don't go over there putting down Muslims or nothing. But she go over there with the love of Christ. And because of that love, they sneak her in underground. Nobody knows she's there. But they have a group of people where she evangelized. And they see miracles. They see people throwing crutches down. All kinds of signs and wonders. And because of the miracles, they say, we want you to come back. Listen, when people are hurting, they don't care what God is doing it. All they want is what? Relief. Yeah. But when God performed the miracles in their body and you tell them, I didn't do this, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, whom God sent into the world, who died and rose again, he is the one that healed you. They're going to say, where is this Jesus? We want to follow him. They could have been raised up as Muslim, but when the power of God comes in their life, when the anointing comes on their life, when the glory hit their life, they don't care nothing about their religion. They want to know, who is this God? Yeah. How many know this same God did the same thing in our lives? Yeah. Every one of us got a story of what we had to walk through and what we, even after being a Christian, we had to walk through. And like David, we realized that God strengthened me for the battle. I encouraged myself in the Lord and I got discouraged, but God brought me out of that discouragement. And I tell my story everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Boy, I love to hear the testimony of saints who talk about things they had to walk out in their lives. To talk about people that abandoned them and people that rejected them and people who ostracized them and lied on them, and yet they learned how to walk in the love of God and forgive them and go on in their life. Only God can do that, saints. We're coming to a close. 2 Timothy 3:12 and 14 reads like this. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The third thing is this, and I'm closing, proclamational giving will end with eternal rewards. Hear this righteous say, Jesus, when did we see you hungry and gave you food? When did we see you sick and help you? When did we see you in prison and visited you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? Jesus, when did we do it? Jesus said, when you did it to the least of them. The least of them does not mean they don't have value. The least of them don't mean they don't have worth. Because sometimes we see people in humble circumstances, we think they deserve to be devalued and looked at as worthless. They have the same value that you have. The Christian who is out there, who don't have all the luxuries you have, in the eyes of God, they are equal to you. I mean, when we die, we all on the same playing field. Hallelujah. The same dirt I go in, you go in. You're in a casket, I'm in a casket. You ain't taking nothing with you, I ain't taking nothing with me. So I would rather realize we all equal right now than have to wait to death to realize it. Naked you came, naked you go. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. John 5, 22 and 23 say, for the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honored not the Son honored not the Father which have sent him. How many know Jesus go on and talk about the goat in that same text? How many know the goat is very disappointed now, because Jesus let him know, you didn't do any of this. Therefore, you're going where? You're going with the devil and his angels. Works doesn't get us to heaven, but works is a confirmation and witness that we got heaven in our heart. So proclamational giving is given on a level that reaches beyond the prosperity of this world. It is given to those who are carrying the gospel outside the walls of the church and having to suffer the challenges of no food, water, shelter, lack of clothes, sickness, and even imprisonment for the Lord's sake. Jesus said, it's this kind of giving that is as if you directly did it unto him and he will repay you. So it's a witness of authentic Christianity. It encourages those suffering for truth, and it will end in eternal reward. Saints, everything you've heard up to this point doesn't matter unless we learn proclamational giving. I'm praying individually, Lord, how can I connect with individuals that's out there risking their life to carry the gospel? How can I connect my giving into other arenas? I'm asking God, show us as a church, what is our role to make sure that we connect to the poor?
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.